This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. We have three items today. The first item is with Lutheran Church Missouri Synod official photographer Eric Lunsford. Eric's latest assignment is taking him to the Persian Gulf nation of Kuwait. He'll be documenting efforts there of Lutheran military chaplains working with our troops in that country. I'll discuss this with Eric. The second item concerns talking about Jesus. Both Islam and Judaism recognize Jesus as a historical figure, but they deny his divinity. How does a Christian discuss Jesus with them? Well, Pastor Nabil Noor addresses that issue. And finally, Last for Lutherans presents how one pastor tells a stranger what he does for a living.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Pope Francis has appealed for an end to the persecution of Christians around the world, voicing much pain at the news of twin suicide bombings targeting churches in Pakistan and suggesting that the world plays down the fact that Christians are being targeted. "These are Christian churches. Christians are being persecuted," he told a crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square. "Our brothers shed blood only because they are Christians." At least 15 people were killed and more than 75 others wounded when suicide bombers detonated their charges just minutes apart near the entrances of two churches, near each other in Lahore, the capital of Punjab province and Pakistan's second most populous city. Despite the deteriorating situation in Pakistan, the State Department has, since 2002, overruled the annual recommendation of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom for Pakistan to be designated a country of particular concern for egregious religious freedom violations. As the Iranian government prepares to respond to recommendations made during the United Nations Human Rights Council's Universal Periodic Review, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom calls attention to the deteriorating conditions for religious freedom of religion and belief in Iran. Since assuming office in 2013, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani has not delivered on his promises to improve conditions for religious minority communities, said Commission Chairwoman Katrina Lantos-Sweat. In fact, the Iranian government has imprisoned more than 350 people, including 150 Sunni Muslims, 100 Baha'is, 90 Christians, and at least a dozen Sufi Muslims for their beliefs. The number of Christians imprisoned has nearly doubled over the past year. A domestic terrorism attack by a lone gunman against the Family Research Council headquarters in Washington, D.C. in 2012 is included in a new exhibit at the National Museum of Crime and Punishment. The exhibit stands as a reminder that in a civil society, we must never allow free and open debate to be shut down through acts of terrorism. This was said by retired Lieutenant General William G. Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council. The Domestic Terrorism and Hate Crimes exhibit, which opened on March the 18th, includes evidence from the attack by Floyd Lee Corkins, who entered the FRC building on August the 15th, 2012, brandishing a gun and planning to commit mass murder. He later admitted to authorities that he learned of the FRC from a so-called hate map posted on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website, which describes the FRC as anti-LGBT, anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
That's
bear.
What we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us live, streaming, archived.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO Radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO Radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
Photojournalist Eric Lunsford is the official photographer for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. His adventures take him all around the world. His latest adventure is to go to the nation of Kuwait. Your next adventure is going to be in the nation of Kuwait.
Yes, I will be going to Kuwait with our director to the Ministry of Armed Forces, Chaplain Craig Miller. He will be doing some endorsing and observing work of several of the LCMS chaplains currently deployed in Kuwait to our armed forces. My role will be to document that story and show how that work is happening in the Middle East, specifically in Kuwait, in our armed forces.
Now, there is a major American military presence in Kuwait, I believe.
Yes, there is a number of military personnel there, and that's why we have several chaplains who are currently there deployed to be able to assist those troops.
One of the people I interviewed quite some time ago was a chaplain who had served in Afghanistan, literally on the battlefront. And he told some intriguing stories about how they were able to set up this fire base. You know, they actually had a little chapel was built, and mostly with the volunteer help from the soldiers, you know, who wanted this. And I thought that was a fascinating tale. And I should imagine, I have not served in the military, so I don't know. But boy, if I was in a situation like that, I'd want all the spiritual guidance I could get. Is this what we're running into, with our own military?
Well, if you sit down with our chaplains, you're going to find incredible stories about the care they provide in the four corners of the earth. You know, recently I was in San Diego with our chaplains on the West Coast. They had their yearly conference there. And being able to sit down with those chaplains, find out, I mean, one is serving in Japan. You know, one is on an aircraft carrier. One's on an army base next to Pearl Harbor. You know, these are Lutheran chaplains who are providing that. But, you know, it can be a challenging environment these days in the military for chaplains. And so it's important we show that, you know, that there is work of that church there, of our church there, and showing how our chaplains are administering to our soldiers.
And also, you know, so much of our military will be deployed in countries that are not Christian. And really, there would be no indigenous spiritual help for them, or sailors on the ocean. You know, where are you going to go to church in the middle of the Pacific? And this is the role that the chaplain corps would do.
Indeed. And you'll see, through the work of the Ministry of Armed Forces, Operation Barnabas, you see how there is that care and nourishing of people happening, not only for, you know, troops serving overseas here in the United States, but even chaplains who are also in parishes, serving their own congregations. It's just a fascinating role in and out of the church, in and out of the military, to be able to provide that care.
What do you hope to do in Kuwait specifically? You mentioned that you're going to be going with Pastor Mueller. Is there a specific itinerary laid out? Are you going to be in particular areas, or you're not? Okay.
Whenever I go photograph an assignment, I like to plan. But there's a case where I will almost overplan it. And I think the beauty of being a photographer is that you should be very, very flexible and adapt to a quickly changing situation. You know, and that's where sometimes a story can come out of nowhere. You know, you meet someone and you find this really wonderful story, and that's the story.
What would you hope to do in Kuwait if you had your dream, the story where it worked just the way you want? What would you hope to get? What would you hope to photograph and to record?
You know, part of what makes documentary photojournalism so appealing to me is being able to make it accessible, in the photographs, the story, to others who couldn't have been there. You know, I want to bring that accessibility to you. And I want to do it in an unexpected and surprising way that for you, I'd like for you to engage the story. So, you know, I think visually, you know, photographers, we tend to think, okay, this is what I love to see. Sometimes it's remarkably different than what we end up seeing. But, you know, I love to see scene centers. I want to show what is, you know, the environment look like? You know, what does it look like to someone who's never been there? Next, what does it look like for our chaplain serving there amongst other troops? Even down to accommodations, where do they live? How do they work? What's their daily life like? And so for me, I look at it and say, what is a question that I can answer visually? And for me, that question is, what is their daily life? You know, it seems so remarkably different than you or me. You know, I mean, you know, I'm here currently in the office for a couple weeks. I've got a lot of things going on. I'm planning some things. So that seems relatively routine. But to me, I can't picture what is the daily life of a chaplain in the field. And so that's one of the questions I want to answer visually is, what does a chaplain serving in Kuwait, what is the daily life of that chaplain?
What you're trying to do is to show us here in the States, to show us the things that we normally can't see. But these are things that affect us. These are our brothers and sisters over there. Your role is to bring us there and to bring them here.
Absolutely. I want to make a story that's accessible to you and hopefully engage you to want to be inspired to help them and to look at and bring awareness to it and saying, oh, you know, I didn't know we had that. And that's, I think, Kip, one of the greatest things I hear on assignment when I meet someone new and they say, oh, you know what? I saw that story on the work in the Baltics. I didn't know the church did that. I didn't know. And that makes me so happy because I'm like, well, let me share that with you because this is my service and vocation to you, is to be able to share that and do it in a way that makes it accessible for you to see what the work is there going on.
And where can we find your galleries?
Currently, we have photo.lcms.org. And that has a number of photo stories online that are tailored and fit specifically to the stories that we are currently working on. So our Engage magazine that comes out, we have stories that are tied into it. They're on photo.lcms.org. You can also find it at lcms.org. Click on photo. And there are a number of stories that are currently active that show the work of not only a chaplain in San Diego at the Marine Recruit Depot base. Very fascinating work that's going on there. You see the work from the Baltics that we had discussed earlier. You're also going to even see work coming back from our March for Life. So we try to keep it very lively and we try to keep it very timely for you.
And it's there for anyone to see. Anybody who's got access to the internet can see what the Missouri Synod is doing worldwide.
Absolutely. You know, it's a passion for me to be able to bring photographs, to bring stories to you, and to tell those stories. So I would hope that you have an opportunity to please visit that and just kind of spend some time with it. You know, the great thing about photography is that it's, in a sense, universal language. It's accessible by all of us that goes above even like a spoken language because we can also relate to it. You know, we look at someone and we say, boy, they look like they have peace in their face. Or we look at a photograph and say, boy, you know, I didn't know that was going on. So that's how we can all relate to it. And I hope that's used as a way to engage others and bring awareness and hopefully inspire people to want to be able to support these different ministries.
And whether we're in the U.S., whether it's someone in Germany, whether it's someone in Madagascar, they can access it, and the picture tells the story. They don't have to know the language.
Indeed, indeed. You can go through it. You can get a great sense of the story. You know, always we have written stories as well. We a lot of times have video to accompany that, so please feel free to enjoy yourself there.
When Eric comes back to the United States, I'll speak with him about what he found in the Middle East. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Hihiwilungasi Lutheran Faihawa.
The three great monotheistic religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all recognize Jesus as a historical figure. But all three have very different views of him. Pastor Nabil Noor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota, was born and raised in the Middle East. He has firsthand experience with all three faiths. Noor explains that Christians know Jesus is Lord.
for us as believers in Jesus, number one, he is both Lord and God. He's totally man. He's totally divine. He is the Savior of mankind from sin, death, and the devil. And there is no other way by which we come into the Father except through him.
Jews recognize that Jesus existed, but most place no special emphasis on him.
Jews, they will claim that there was a historical Jesus that walked upon the earth at one point. But they say he is not really the Messiah.
While most Jews have no regard for Jesus one way or the other, Pastor Dorer says some Orthodox Jews are actively hostile.
They have a great animosity towards Jesus because he is not, according to their standard, they don't believe that he is truly Jesus Christ.
In fact, some Orthodox followers have changed Jesus' traditional Hebrew name, Yeshua, which means the one who saves, to another name with an entirely different meaning.
Yimche Shmo Vizichro. May his memory and his name be erased.
Muslims also recognize a historical Jesus, but unlike Jews, Muslims revere him.
They do believe that he is a historical Jesus. They do believe that he was a prophet sent from God. They do believe he has done many, many, many miracles.
They do not, however, consider Jesus divine. To them, there are a number of prophets, but only Muhammad is God's true prophet.
However, they say in Arabic, La ilaha illallah wa Muhammadun Rasulullah. There is no God but one God, and Muhammad is the, capital H, prophet, capital P, the prophet of God.
The Islamic view of Jesus differs from Christians in other areas as well. For example, Muslims reject the belief that Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead.
Neither was crucified nor killed, but God made it appear like it was him on the cross, because God could not and would not let a prophet endure that kind of treatment.
So how does a Christian speak of Jesus to those who reject his divinity? Pastor Noor suggests start by not criticizing the books those faiths consider holy.
I always say, number one, do not look at the scriptures and find fault in it, whether it is the Islamic Quran, the holy book, or the Tanakh, which is the writings and the prophets of the Old Testament, and or the Torah also.
With Jews, start with the Old Testament, as both faiths have many of the Old Testament books in common.
So for the Jewish people, in order for us to minister to them and reach them is one-on-one, not to be an antagonist and not to be vicious, but begin where they are, you know. Begin with what they have in their scripture and identify what God has said for them.
While Jews often study the books of the Old Testament, some concentrate just on the first five books. Pastor Noor relates how he knew an elderly Jewish woman who attended synagogue every Saturday but knew little of the Psalms.
I said, what do you know about David and his sin? Oh, he couldn't have sinned. He was the king of Israel. I said, don't you know what he did, that he killed a man because he had slept with his wife and fathered a child with her? He slept with her outside the marriage bond? No way! I said, you've never read Psalm 51? She hadn't even heard of Bathsheba.
As for Muslims, Pastor Noor suggests mentioning that the Quran speaks of Jesus' many miracles, while only attributing one to Muhammad.
On the Muslims, it's pretty much the same things, but begin with their book and talk about what it says about Isa, because they attribute to him that many more miracles.
Pastor Noor says that the Christian can use the same approach to both Jews and Muslims when discussing Jesus.
The best way to minister to the Muslims as well as to the Jews is to to befriending them and to highlight the good about their religion.
Jews and Christians today coexist peacefully, despite a history of animosity. Jews don't seek converts, well, Christians do seek converts, but only through preaching the gospel and by living by example. This is not the case with Muslims.
If you read the Quran in Surah 5, verse 9, it tells you, you have to get rid of the infidels. I mean, that is a command, and if you don't do that, you're going to go to hell.
From its very beginning, Islam spread through violence. Those who were conquered were given a choice.
The increase in the spread of Islam occurred by the power of the sword. If you know the history, from the 6th to the 8th century, the Muslim really increased. It was all by the sword. They would come, and they'll give you the option. You either convert or live like dogs under us by paying the jizya or the taxes.
Refusal to accept either meant instant death. There's another major difference that separates Muslims from Christians and Jews. While a Christian or a Jew may die for his faith, he can't kill for it. In Islam, not only is killing permitted, but it may even be required.
In the Islamic faith, that is one of the things they talk about, the shahid or the martyr. They kill themselves for the sake of the kingdom so that they can go to heaven. And of course, that's what they did when they did 9/11, when they attacked this country.
How is a Christian to respond? Well, Pastor Nora says Jesus gave us the answer.
But for those who still, go against us, we do what the Lord says in the Sermon on the Mount. Pray for those who persecute you and love those who hate you.
We are instructed to pray for all. Jesus died not only for Christians, but for all people. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
And now, World Lutheran News Digest presents Laughs for Lutherans.
People often say to me, they say, J. John, you know, what do you do? It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport, and I said, hello. And she said, well, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. I said, we do marriage work. We've got orphanages. We've got feeding programs, educational programs. I said, we do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow! And it was so loud, her wow, loads of people turned round and looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church. Isn't it? If we are a follower of Jesus, wow, then we are part of a global enterprise. But not only is it global, it's intergalactic, because it includes everyone that's gone before us.
Wow.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime, streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.
It's okay if you miss a program on Worldwide KFUO, because you can download them as a podcast at your convenience. There are so many programs at Worldwide KFUO that are centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't miss one of them. You can download one or all at kfuo.org or subscribe on iTunes. That's kfuo.org, the messenger of good news.
One of the great discussions in theology is why some are saved and others are not. While the Bible provides no answer to that question, it does give an answer as to why some who are saved do not confess Jesus publicly. It is the subject of our next Law and Gospel, with special reference to your own confession.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO. The messenger of good news, KFUO Clayton, St. Louis, KFUO HD, worldwide at kfuo.org.